A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Utah's source for exclusive access and insights behind the news. Here's the opinion page editor of the Deseret News, Boyd Matheson, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Welcome back, everyone, to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. I am Boyd Matheson, opinion editor at the Deseret News. Great to be with you today. And as I mentioned before the break, we've got two very special guests in studio today. Chris Peterson, Democratic candidate for governor, and the lieutenant governor, Republican candidate for governor. That's a really hard thing to say, Spencer, but we'll keep rolling with that. You're here for a really interesting reason. I was going to start with our Let's Get Ready to Rumble music, but today is not that day. And so I want to play just a little bit of a new public service announcement where both of these fine gentlemen are playing a significant part.
I'm Chris Peterson.
And I'm Spencer Cox.
We are currently in the final days of campaigning against each other to be your next governor.
And while I think you should vote for me...
Yeah, but really you should vote for me.
There are some things we both agree on.
We can debate issues without degrading each other's character.
We can disagree without hating each other.
And win or lose, in Utah, we work together.
So let's show the country that there's a better way.
My name's Chris Peterson.
And I'm Spencer Cox.
And
we approve this message.
All right, that is unlike any political ad you are going to hear anywhere in the United States of America for the next 13 days. But we're very grateful to have both of these fine gentlemen and candidates for governor in studio with us today. We are socially distanced. We have separate booths going on. But Chris, let me start with you. Give us a little backstory here. How did this all come about?
Well, you know, Lieutenant Governor Cox and I think we've been running against each other for a while. And I think that in the moments when we haven't been on camera, we've, I think somewhat to a degree, I hope I'm not stepping out of line, connected and recognize that we have some shared interests and that we're going through something that's actually kind of similar. And I think we're both disturbed by the level of discourse, and we both genuinely believe about that we need to have civility in our society, and we need to respect the democratic process. And so it's great to be coming together to say that.
Yeah, this is such an important message. And Lieutenant Governor Cox, I know this has been something you've been talking about for a long time now in terms of how do we elevate those conversations? How do we bring people together? Tell us about how this did really roll together and what was actually rolled out today.
Yeah, well, Boyd, it's you and I have had these conversations for a long time, and it's a big deal. By the way, we are socially distanced. I feel like I'm at the kids' table at Thanksgiving. It's great. it was actually a friend came to me and said, I'm really worried about what happens on November 4th. We've seen civil unrest over the summer months. We have, we have the president not saying what's going to happen after the election. And I think people are really nervous that no matter who wins, there could be civil unrest and rioting and protests and those types of things. And so I knew that Chris had similar feelings to me. And so we struck up a conversation and kind of a, would it be crazy if we did something like this? And we both thought it was worth trying. If we could show that Utah could be different on November 4th, no matter who wins, whether President Trump wins or Vice President Biden wins, if Utah responded in a different way than the rest of the country, that would be momentous.
Yeah, and I think just having those conversations in a different way, the debates that the two of you have had over the course of this campaign have all been very civil. And it's not about a kumbaya moment. This is not about group hugs, because the country and the state is always at its best when we have big ideas, differing opinions, but elevated conversations on that. And I think you both have demonstrated that over the course of this campaign. I was actually, this is the geek part of me, I was watching the 1960 debate. I was not there live, but it was really interesting. And at one moment in that debate, then Senator Kennedy really blistered Richard Nixon on a couple of things where they disagreed. And the moderator asked Richard Nixon, would you like a chance to give a rebuttal to what the senator just said? And he started his rebuttal, which was the first rebuttal ever on TV, by saying, the senator and I agree on the vast majority of the elements of this issue. We disagree on some. And then he went from there. And I thought that was just an interesting way to do it. And I appreciate the way both of you have said, hey, let's talk, because that is where things start. So, Chris, let me go back to you in terms of this civility and raising the stakes. What else do we need to do in the state of Utah, not just to have kumbaya moments, but to disagree better?
Well, we need to make sure that we're not dismissing our opponents because of their tribal identity, their party. We have to actually engage on policy and the policy proposals. It's not about this. Nothing in this campaign is about Spencer. It's not about me. It's about serving the public and trying to correct problems in our society. And it's a lot easier to get involved in the tit for tat, the insults, the back and forth, who does that person talk to, that sort of stuff. It's alluring, but ultimately it's self-defeating. What we have to do is fix problems, and that requires us to talk about substantive policies and then work together to achieve results. That's what this is about.
Yeah, and to you, Spencer, as you look at it, we've entered officially, I think, with 13 days to go. We're into silly season, especially at the national level and many times at the statewide level. What else do we need to do individually? What's the responsibility to combat silly season and make sure we don't get into the tribalism that Chris is talking about?
Well, it feels like we've been in silly season for at least 4 years and maybe longer. I mean, you go back to that debate. The big takeaway from that debate was Richard Nixon was sweating a little bit. That was the crazy thing that happened, right? And you look at this last presidential debate, and any snippet of that is the craziest thing that has ever happened in debates, right? And so I think what we as individuals have to do, and this is critical because our elected officials are just a reflection of us. If we're waiting for elected officials to behave the right way, we're doing it wrong. They behave that way because it kind of works. Mm-hmm. And so the way we do it differently is, first of all, stop watching cable TV news, stop watching Fox News, stop watching MSNBC. I did it 7 years ago. It's the best thing I
good life
decision
choice,
I yeah. made. Don't denigrate your opponents. Like Chris said, when we other people, when we make them less than human, or we ascribe to them evil intent, right? Chris and I have vastly different beliefs on lots of things. We agree on lots of things, but different beliefs on things. But I don't question his motive. I don't think he's an evil person. He just has a different way of solving the same problems. And that's where we have the discussion. Facebook, Twitter, those aren't good places. You know, you don't mute people who disagree with you. But also don't just tear other people down. If we practice that in our personal lives, I promise the political discourse at a national level will improve.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things that's coming out of the public service announcements that the two of you are rolling out today is the importance for people to have confidence in the election itself. It's a time when confidence in government and in institutions in general have been waning. Let me start with you first on this one, Spencer, in terms of what do we need to do to make sure that Utah's doing well, but what else do we need to do to make sure everyone can have confidence in the election process?
Well, again, turn off the conspiracy theories and go to the trusted sources. So we are a vote by mail state, right? Yeah. And we've been doing this for a long time, and we're really, really good at it. And so you have to understand the way the process works and have confidence that we have security measures in place. And then don't listen to those voices that try to undermine it. If someone's first reaction to lose is to undermine the process, then we should reject those voices. And I think we can do that here in Utah better than anywhere else. I certainly hope that that's the case. But I'm legitimately worried about what happens. Again, regardless of who wins, I think we probably will see some negative reactions, some protests, and hopefully, again, protesting is fine. But it's when we start things on fire or there's violence that we cross lines, and we just can't go there.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. in terms of we always go back to the football analogy. If you're complaining about the rules or the referees, you're probably losing. And so we do have those systems in place. Chris, finally back to you. What else do you think the country can learn? If the country were to take a little window in view of Utah today and what the two of you are doing, what are some of the lessons you hope our national leaders across the political spectrum will take out of what's happening here in the state of Utah?
Well, it takes courage to reach out to the other side and decide that you're going to work together. I feel that I'm going to get criticism from my political left, and I know that Lieutenant Governor Cox is getting criticism from his political right. But it is easier in our society to just talk to the people that agree with you than it is to reach across party lines and try to forge common identity and a common set of core values. And that's part of what this public service announcement is all about. And that's not to say that we agree about everything. We have sharp disagreements that we've been fighting about throughout. Well, not fighting is the wrong word. We've been sharply disagreeing throughout this entire campaign. And I want to talk about those too. So have me back tomorrow and we can talk about payday loans and COVID response and health insurance. But today, Spencer Cox is a decent man. He has honorable intentions. If he wins this election, I support him as my governor, and I'll try to do everything I can to give him good advice and participation should I ever be called upon to do so. And we need our national leaders to do the same thing. We have to count up all the votes, have a peaceful transition of power if that's in order, and move forward in shared common purpose as one nation.
Yeah. So good. From some of our listeners on our Newsmaker text line from Utah Community Credit Union, new ad with these candidates for governor is amazing. Another texter said, I love this gentleman. Very inspiring and hopeful. Thank you. and we thank you because this is something that truly matters. As we always say, it's not just being civil without substance. The substance matters. And we want to have those debates. We want to have big, open, challenging conversations about critical issues. And so it's not about disagreeing less. It's just about disagreeing better. And we thank both of you for coming in today and for launching this. We're going to try to get some air under this and get some of the national folks to be looking at how Utah can do it and do it better. There is a Utah model, and we appreciate both of you for leading out and really driving this home for us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Boyd.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and step aside for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to go way back. We're going to go to George Washington's Rules for Civility, find out what those were, coming up next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.